Support for this podcast comes from UCSF Medical Center. U.S. News and World Report has recognized UCSF Medical Center as the best hospital in California for neurology and neurosurgery, cancer, orthopedics, kidney care, diabetes and endocrinology, lung and respiratory care. UCSF Health, redefining possible.
Columbus is growing. Here at the Dispatch, we wanted to take a step back and look at what all this growth means. This program will explore the future of Columbus and Central Ohio. This is What's Next.
Hello and welcome to another episode of CBUS Next. We are exploring the future of Columbus, looking at what the city is going to look like, what the Central Ohio area will look like over the next 20 years. Kimball Perry, a reporter here at the Dispatch, recently sat down with Mike Stevens from Smart Columbus to talk about transportation, what cars are going to look like, what mass transportation is going to look like, and here they are.
Hi, my name is Kimball Perry. I'm a newspaper reporter at the Columbus Dispatch. Today we'll be talking with Mike Stevens, the Chief Innovation Officer at Smart Columbus. Hi, Mike, how are you?
Good, Kimball, how are you?
Fine, thanks. We are doing the podcast as part of the CBUS Next series that the Dispatch is doing over the next couple of months, and Mike was good enough to sit down and talk to me about transportation and what transportation will be like in the next 20 years. And an anecdote that Mike actually told me really resonated with me, and I'm using it to start the story, and it involves your 16-year-old son, Ted. Tell me about that.
Well, Ted is, as a 16-year-old, has recently learned how to drive, and as I started working for the City of Columbus in this role and learning more about what the Smart City Challenge was and what we're working on in Smart Columbus, it made me think about how is this going to impact the future? And will Ted have the opportunity when he's a father to take his child out and teach them how to drive? Or are we really, or with this disruption we're seeing in mobility, will there be autonomous vehicles to the point where that generation, you know, my grandchildren, might not learn how to drive, might not have licenses, will be riding in autonomous vehicles? So that was, to me, that was really interesting. And you know, I talked to Ted about it as we were driving. He wasn't as interested, but he is a 16-year-old boy.
Well, I've seen a few driverless cars go by, the autonomous vehicles, and they kind of, I don't want to say freak me out, but they make me uncomfortable. How about you?
You know, when we talked earlier, you know, I talked about how now when I get around or come to work, I get in my car by myself, drive to the city and go to work and drive home. And over 80% of the population in Columbus is doing that. And a lot of it's because there's control. And there's this thought of, well, I have my freedom and I can move about. I think as this disruption in mobility and transportation occurs, and it's going to be pretty significant.
What do you mean by disruption?
You know, over 100 years ago, we went from the horse and buggy to the automobile and the Model T. And that was a significant disruption because of technology. Over the next 100 years, the automobile has made improvements in technology improvements, incremental improvements. We're going to see a change that's not incremental. It's going to be pretty significant where people are thinking more about mobility services and less about what automobile am I going to drive, how am I going to get there, how am I going to plan my trip. And it's going to be more of a community-oriented activity of getting around. But I truly believe this change and the improvement in mobility services, you're really not going to lose your freedom. You're just the paradigm of how you're getting around. You're still going to be able to get to the places you need to get on the time that when you want to do it. And the wait time and the fixed routes, the wait time will be decreased. The fixed routes will be less, and there'll be different ways. And you see it now already. Whether it's if you get car to go in downtown Columbus, if you use the bike service, if you use Uber or Lyft or trip service, and that really complements our pretty robust transit authority that we have to move people around. So you know, there's times where I will ride the bus to downtown, and I don't feel that I am then stuck in being held to the bus schedule. I know there are other ways to get around downtown and around Central Ohio at a moment's notice.
Well, give me an example of how you think the transportation will change for me or you coming to work in by 2037. Whereas now you and I both get in our cars, drive individually down here and park someplace and pay to park, and then we walk a couple of blocks to work or park in the parking garage.
I really feel that by 2037, we're going to be riding in vehicles that are connected and driving themselves, you know, fully autonomous electric vehicles.
When you say connected, you don't mean physically connected.
Not physically connected, but connected electronically is the wrong word. But
through wireless communication, a
short range radio. So you know they are, you know, are reacting and moving around. So I think there's going to be hubs to get in, and a lot of times they'll be shared. I mean, you and I might be both riding in this autonomous vehicle together, probably both doing work as we go from point A to point B. That's going to have a pretty big impact on parking. You know, the need for parking. It won't be as strong, and at that point will we have overparked? Right now, parking's an issue, and people work downtown. You know that's an important thing. Is you know, where is my parking and what the cost is? I don't think it will be an issue in 20 years, and because of we are going to offer these mobility services. I think the cost of automobile ownership. You know that's going to when you don't have an automobile, that's going to create more. More time and more disposable income. So that's going to have an impact on the economy. It's going to have an impact on our workforce. And
how so?
Well, currently, you know, Ohio is the second largest employer of Tier 1 and Tier 2 automotive manufacturer of automotive parks, it's a significant employer. Well, when you don't have steering wheels and you have autonomous vehicles that aren't crashing, you don't need the bumpers. You don't need those parts. So are we got to make sure that our workforce and our talent pipeline is being developed in a way that it's preparing for the jobs of the future as opposed to some of the jobs that are going away. So I liken it to, you know, at the turn of the century, you know, the 1800s to 1900s, Columbus was a significant buggy manufacturer. And so something like buggy whips.
I did not know that.
Yeah, you know, a quarter of the buggies that were made in the United States were made in Columbus. Well, the Model T wiped that industry out. And, you know, we have to continuously evolve and change and make sure that the opportunities for the next generation of whatever it might be. So we might not be manufacturing steering wheels, but there's still an autonomous vehicle that needs to be manufactured. It's got it's got parts in it that needs to be maintained. So are we
electronics,
and are we making sure our workforce solution providers are starting to think about that and working with the private sector that's developing these not tools, but the different ways to get around the different vehicles. You know, are we making sure that the skill set that the manufacturer needs are being developed? So that's really important.
Well, as kids, I watched the Jetsons, the futuristic cartoon show, and it's been on in repeats for decades. There you always saw George Jetson coming home in a flying car. And I talked to Giorgio Rizzoni at Ohio State University, who's in charge of the car department there, and he says that's 20 years is way too far for that. But within 20 years, everybody should have options, including electric. And you talked about electric. Why do you see electric as a big driver and a big user in the future?
The technology around electric vehicles is really getting good, and so the cost of the electric vehicles, the battery lives are lasting longer. The amount of time it takes to the distance you can travel is significant. Is getting significant, and also the cost to produce these vehicles is reducing. So I really see an opportunity that they're going to be just better produced vehicles, and you see that even the manufacturers are starting to recognize that. And you know, there's also, you know, the dependence on oil, and reducing that and reducing greenhouse gas emissions has a significant impact on our environment and the quality of life.
Well, when you started in your job, you said you've been on this job for 3 months now.
3 months now.
Did you think that you'd be doing this kind of a project that not only impacted transportation, but the way transportation changes are going to impact the environment and the way we live?
Yeah, that's what attracted me to come back and take this role and really focus on this initially, because of the significant impact it's going to have not only on our transportation and mobility, but how are we using mobility to, you know, as Mayor Ginther likes to say, it's the great equalizer. How is mobility going to help some of our neighborhoods that have been left behind in the economic success we've had in Columbus recently? How's mobility going to help equalize that, to get people to job training, to get them to jobs, to get them to better health care?
Well, how do you see that? What is the answer to that?
Well, a lot of it's, you know, a couple of the projects we're working on is, how do we answer this first mile, last mile issue of, you know, you start at your home and you want to get to the Coda stop. How do you get there so you're not walking a mile? So what tools do you use?
And now, in talking to Curtis Stitt, the CEO of Coda here, he says that that's a big issue for Coda, for public transportation also. And they're doing things like looking at Uber and Lyft and the point-to-points, and there's another one called Chariot.
Yeah.
Which essentially is if your neighborhood wants to vanpool to work, you all get together, and if there's enough people, they create a new route for you. Do you see that as the future, where we all get together and ride together?
Yeah, that's those mobility solutions, and you know, people are going to be able to select out, and I think that, you know, obviously it's going to be some fee based, and probably if you have the scale, if you have more people, it's going to cost you less. But that's a real issue, and how do we use ride sharing to get people to the point they want, from A to B, where they want to go, so then they can get into, like I said, a robust transit system, and then that last mile, whether it's, you know, it's the doctor's appointment or the office where you get dropped off, how do you make up that last mile? And those are some of these ride sharing tools that are out there are going to continue to evolve, and it's exciting.
So it looks like, instead of me driving from my house to my doctor's office and doing that just without any interruption, in 20 years I may have to get in a car to go or something like it and drive a quarter of a mile, half a mile to get to basically a hub that allows me to get on this the electric car, driverless car, and it may be a pod, and it may be six or seven or eight of them going at high speed someplace. Is that accurate?
I think that's a vision of it. My expertise on what it's going to look like is not as strong as knowing that we're working towards that and trying to find the solutions. But some of the things we're working on now with our USDOT grant is the multimodal trip planning. So how do you use your phone to plan from your home, from where you start to where you end, and how you will do that in a time that, you know, makes so it's efficient, right? One of the things is, you can get in your car now, you drive 20 minutes, and chances are you're where you want to be. How do we reduce the time for the multimodal portion to get where you need to be, so it's competitive with the way you're doing it now, but also maybe just pay for it all at once then, right there on your phone, you plan your trip, you pay for it, you walk out. You know, if we reduce greenhouse gas emissions, you're going to do that half mile as a walk, because the air is healthier. You're living a healthier lifestyle. You'll get on the bus, or you'll get into an autonomous shuttle. You go where you need to go. Maybe the last quarter of a mile, you'll ride a bike that's available at the hub. So it's
And the theory is that payment may not be an extra payment, because it may substitute for what is a monthly car payment now.
Oh yeah, it's going to actually be it's going to cost you less, especially if you do one where, like I said, the scale. If you're riding with others, you know, you're all going to be sharing that cost. So that will reduce the cost, and it will be offset by the cost of car ownership. You know, beyond 20 years, but I think there's a real opportunity, a business opportunity around cars that people are driving now. You know, when the horse and buggy went away, people still kept horses, but it became more of a hobby. I could see someone taking, you know, a couple thousand acres in some place and setting up a car driving experience where, you know, my grandchildren maybe don't learn how to drive, will then have the opportunity to go out there in a controlled environment where we're doing autonomous vehicle testing now in a controlled environment. We'll have self-driving, you know, where we drive the cars ourselves in a controlled environment. And that's the hobby. You go out and you drive a little bit and get that thrill. And so I think that's a great business opportunity out in the future, but it might be more than 20 years.
How difficult do you think it will be for us to evolve into the all-electric car, because that has to be charged up, and it's going to take, I mean, there are very few charging stations now, and there are more coming. I understand you guys are planning, like, 300 downtown?
Yeah, that's not going to be that difficult. We've got a great partner in AEP. we're really focused, and then the Paul Allen Family Foundation, Vulcan, was part of the grant process for us, and we're really modern. You know, the grid's being modernized by AEP. The Vulcan Foundation dollars are helping identify locations to install charging systems. So we're going to have both public and private charging systems put out across the region. And so that, and then eventually, you know, I think we've got to spur it, but at some point the private sector is going to take over. And you have a gas station on corners now where you pull in and you gas up. You're going to have an electric charging station, and there's going to be a market to that as well. And I'm really excited to see how that's going to evolve, and because I think that will be a great solution.
Is the technology available now, or do you think it will be in 20 years so that I don't have to spend an hour charging up? Because it's 2 or 3 minutes to fill my gas, my car with gas.
Yeah, 20 years. That I'm really confident you'll be, and then you won't have to. The battery technology is advancing in such a way that you won't have to be charging up all the time. You'll be able to get, like, I go to the gas station once a week and fill up. I think you're going to have a similar thing in charging your battery. I mean, it all depends on how much you drive. But if you're driving, you know, 300 miles a week. We'll get to the point where you won't have to charge up.
How much of an impact do you think that transportation will have on the way we live in 20 years?
Oh, it's had a significant impact over the last 100 years on the way we live, and it will continue to. But the technology improvements are happening so fast that it's going to have a positive impact. I've talked with the mayor, and his concern is let's make sure as these technology improvements happen, we're not leaving people behind. We're not creating a greater gap between
a mobility disparity,
not a mobility disparity, an income disparity. Let's make sure we're focused on ladders of opportunities, so we reduce disparity as opposed to create more through technology improvements.
If I live in a low income neighborhood and I don't have a car now, how will the changes coming in 20 years impact me? I assume that you think it's going to be a very positive impact.
If this is a great opportunity to really address those situations where we can improve people's quality of life through a different mobility system, where you don't have to own a car, and you can get, you know, you can get from point A to your final, you know, from your start to the final destination, whether, like I said earlier, job training or job. Because I mean, that's the big. If you want a job, you got to get to the job, right? And it's got to be dependable transportation to get there. But if you also, if you have a job, you need to be healthy. You need to get to work, and so you need a dependable way to get to healthcare and other. And we've got great healthcare in this region, and we need to continue. You know, giving everyone access to it's going to be really important. If you don't, you know, on the technology side, there's going to be some skills that people need to develop. And I talked about earlier how we need to have the private sector say, this is what the skills that we need folks to develop. We need to be able to get individuals to those job training opportunities so they can have those skills. I think this will make it easier and will be less of a barrier to entry for individuals.
Okay. What about transportation, if I want to go out of town to see my relatives, or you want to go back and to Chicago for a while, is it going to be the same type of, I get in a pod and it's going to take me?
Yeah, I really think it, you know, it will continue to evolve. You know, a lot of what we're doing now, and I'll be honest, I've been focusing on in the short term, near term, around automobiles and more the local trips. But you know, one of the things that we're one of our pilot projects is down in the Rickenbacker area is truck platooning. And, you know, how will this change impact the trucking industry and the movement of goods and services across the country and the movement of people? So it will continue to evolve.
But most of this is based on the advances in technology we've made and we expect to make in the next 20 years, because basically it's about communications within technology. Roads have to talk to street lights and stoplights, and they have to talk to cars and other vehicles. How does all that integrate? Will it be as easy as you expect?
Oh, I don't expect it to be easy. I think there'll be challenges to make sure we're using the right technology. The question I ask a lot, is this, are we doing Betamax or are we doing VHS? I mean, that's real. That dates me quite a bit. But so it's along that. So we've got to make sure we're selecting the right technology. We've got to learn fast. You know, you hear entrepreneurs and people in technology talk about failing fast. So we've got to learn what works, and but then we've got to be able to communicate it out and coordinate with ODOT and as well as the U.S. Department of Transportation, so they, you know, we all are on the same page of the technology that's being used. Because if you're using a connected vehicle and you're driving in Ohio, and you say you're headed east and you're going to Pennsylvania, you've got to make sure you there are the same standards that are connecting the vehicles and the roads and
just so, like highways have to have the same rules now.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's not impossible. I mean, it's changed, and we know how to do that. And policymakers are thinking about it already, and we'll continue to.
What's the next big step, from your perspective?
The next big step from my perspective, the city's going to deliver on this grant that we've got from the United States Department of Transportation. And we're going to start implementing projects, and people will see these projects.
That grant's what, $50
million? It's 40 from Department of Transportation, 10 from Vulcan, so it's 50 total. People are going to see, on the electrification side, they're going to see these more chargers going in. They're going to start seeing some fleet vehicles change over from combustion engines to electric. You'll see some of the projects that we're working on, start being deployed in 2018, 2019. So that's really important. But I think what's really important for the region to understand is this isn't a grant that in 4 years when it ends, we're done. We have a great opportunity to really help drive something that's going to be transformative. And the fact that not only the elected leadership in the region has gotten behind this, but the business and civic leadership has. And we're having the conversation of what are we doing after the grant? How do we have a real impact around business, economic development, workforce development? How do we keep Columbus as a leader in throughout the country and the world through smart cities?
So when do I not have to buy a car?
I think if you are an early adapter, you are going to be in an electric vehicle in 2 years.
No kidding.
Yeah. I want to be aggressive. I hope to be in an electric vehicle in 2 years. And then within the next 10 years, you're going to be starting to decide, okay, what mobility solutions do I need, and does that include a car?
And more you're suggesting it may not.
I think we are going that way, and I don't think it's going to change course.
Okay. Thank you for being here. I appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for listening to us today. Our next episode is going to explore immigration. You can hear it next Friday. And if you want to check out any of our stories, you can go to cbusnext.com.
DirecTV has been rated number one in customer satisfaction over cable for 17 years running, but some people still like cable. Just like some people like getting stepped on by their dance partner.
Oh, you got the moves!
A warm welcome from La Chancla.
Oh, I missed you too, Mom.
Rubbing their eyes after chopping habaneros.
Oh, spicy. I can see clearly now.
Or receiving a flying kick directly on the shin.
Thanks, I needed that.
But for everyone else, there's DirecTV. For number one customer satisfaction over cable, switch to DirecTV. Call 1-877-278-1288. Compared to other major subscription TV cable providers, claim based on 2001 to 2017 ACSI surveys of customers rating their own TV provider's performance. New approved DirecTV customers only. Equipment lease required. Restrictions apply. Visit att.com for details.